listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
1, 2, 4, go!
Easy, Batman.
It's the heavy metal episode.
It's AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
I'm Scott.
And this is episode 31, part 3.
And if you want to check us out on the web, we're at www.totaltalknonsense.com.
Yeah.
And we got a cool forum. And as always, leave comments at Podcast Alley. And be a part of the community. The Total Talk Nonsense community. Or the Bullocks community. Talking bullocks.
You're talking, we're talking balls?
I don't know. Whatever that means.
I'm having some chips, man. Some Doritos.
No doubt. All right, John, I just got a quick little thing here. Maxim's topless anthems. Do you know what I'm referring to? These are the top songs that you would play in a strip club. If we owned a strip club, these are the top songs. The top topless anthems. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, baby.
Thunder Kiss 65 by White Zombie, which I'm really not familiar with. Sweet Emotion by Aerosmith. I know that one. You Shook Me All Night Long, AC/DC. Pour Some Sugar on Me. Do you know who that's by, John?
Yeah, that would be Poison.
Def Leppard. Pour
Sorry.
Some Sugar on Me. How about Cherry Pie? You know that, Cherry Pie? That's Warrant.
Yeah.
Girls, Girls, Girls by
Motley Crue.
Crazy Train by
Ozzy Osbourne.
Cowboy by that's right, John.
Kid Rock, yeah.
I don't know if it's Closer or Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
Closer.
Wild Thing by Tone Loc. And the last one on the list, John, Hot for Teacher, Van Halen. There you have it.
There you go, trying to validate yourself. Oh,
I don't have to validate my top 10 songs since 1980.
Paul B. pulled you out.
No.
You out.
Oh, he pulled his own out.
Yeah.
I'll stand by Van Halen, Hot for Teacher.
I know, you're such a rebel.
I am a rebel.
You're rebellious, against a man, against some guy over in England calling
That's
you out.
Right.
You pussy.
Well, he's a cunt, isn't he? You septic. You cunt. You fucking cunt.
You bollock. We got to hook up with those dudes, man.
No doubt. I was thinking we should email Tony Hearn.
It would be a pisser.
We should email Tony Hearn and say, hey, man, your next gig or whenever, maybe in the summer, get a gig.
Right over by Amsterdam.
Get a gig in the summer in Manchester or wherever the hell you play. And let us come out and open up for you guys.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You know, we'll do like 30 minutes or 45 minutes and open up for Alcohol. Tony Hearn's band.
That's right.
That would be hot. And then we could do the same. If they ever want to come over to the States, we can hook up some gig. You know, we got some connections. We can go and play anywhere, anytime, any place, anywhere.
Yeah.
And we could have them do their opening if they want to open for us. You know, maybe we could do something like that. See, the thing is, there's only three of us, and it makes it easy for us to travel worldwide. But
you're all right, man.
I'm fine. I think Alcohol, the band Alcohol, has five members, five of them.
Oh, yeah.
So it may be a little more difficult for them to coordinate their schedules. But I guess that's an open invitation from us, John and Scott at Total Talk Nonsense, to Alcohol.
Yeah, we got connections. We could get them at the Viaduct Theater.
No doubt. The Viaduct, the Beacon, Mrs. P and Me, Harry's.
They probably put them in at the Metro. Hey, man, we came all the way from the UK. Holy shit!
No doubt.
Remember when I emailed that guy in Amsterdam? He was like, hey, open mic night? Are you crazy? We'll give you a whole set.
I remember. I think you were too high.
Me?
Yeah.
You.
You. Not me. I didn't.
Is it me, or is it everybody just looking at us here and thinking, what a bunch of stupid Americans? Wasn't that the line?
Something like that.
Rick tells it better.
You're paraphrasing.
How did it go?
I don't know. I was high.
Speaking of the weed, Scott.
Yes, John?
I read something today. Pretty funny. Did you know, Scott, marijuana no longer the key gateway drug. Anecdotal data already indicate that Viagra...
You asshole. What's wrong, man?
Nothing.
No, go ahead.
I was a lot quieter. Anyway, anecdotal data already indicate... Can you hear that now?
About marijuana?
What?
I can't hear anything.
That's right, because I got the mute button, ass.
Right, go ahead.
Mute.
Hold on, let me get another chip.
Yeah, get a chip. What are you
giggling over there like a schoolgirl?
Anecdotal data already in the Are you gonna joke?
What's wrong, man? Don't joke, man. I won't.
All right, I'm trying to read. That's rude.
These are good.
How you can be so rude?
No, go ahead.
But it's a small
continue.
Bag.
Continue.
All right.
Oh, hey, did you hear about Tom Cruise?
No, what?
Let me tell you about it. It's great.
Well, let's hear it. Wait, finish your chip first. All right.
Tom Cruise did a Dorito commercial in Japan.
He did
that. Yeah.
Come on.
He smoked a joint, and he said, when I got the munchies, well, he said, when I got the munchies, John.
And he go, well, I got the munchies.
All right, we're getting sidetracked. Continue your All Mary right. Jane story. I will no longer distract
Anecdotal
you.
Data already indicate that Viagra use leads to pornography, polygamy, and even death. If this trend continues, older people may actually start engaging in sexual activities, which don't even include the missionary position. Considering the absurd position of the DEA on marijuana prohibition, this data should already be more than enough to forever prohibit the evil drug, which actually can kill. New evidence suggests, Scott, that Viagra is the pill... of choice for people using illicit recreational drugs. From the article, it says, Viagra has been the number one party pill since it was released, said Paul Quigley, emergency medicine specialist at Wellington Hospital. Party goers report many party pills and illicit drugs make them amorous, but unable to perform. They see Viagra and other similar drugs as the perfect finale to their weekend cocktail. I want to emphasize the cock and cocktail, by the way. Most, well, where am I? Most recreational drugs make you very randy, but you can't do much about it, said Quigley, an expert in recreational drugs. Does it mean he takes them? What does that mean? How are you an expert in recreational drugs? I am too, then, I guess, right?
No doubt.
He says that's the standard mix to go out in the evening to make sure you take some Viagra with you. Viagra is a common addition to illegal party pill packs combined with uppers for Friday and Saturday night, as well as downers to help clubbers sleep on Sunday before work. That's a hard thing to say there. Addition to illegal party pill packs combined with uppers.
No pun intended when you said it's a hard thing to say?
Yeah, it is. No pun intended. But still, it's like a tongue twister.
Tongue twister. Party panty pa.
Not- Okay, for $100, if you could guess what the hell Scott said.
I don't even know what I said. Nobody can win.
Not only might one argue that Viagra, is frequently abused by people taking it for recreational use, but it also leads to more dangerous activities. The strength of the DEA argument against marijuana has always rested on the distortion that marijuana is a gateway drug.
Which we know is crap.
That's right. Viagra is much more of a gateway drug, as it is not only associated with the use of hard, no pun intended, drugs, but it also leads to such things as marital enhancement for those with erectile dysfunction and the restoration of healthy sex lives for our elderly. Like marijuana, it must be outlawed today before our society slips into further decay. Why can't I close the goddamn story?
I don't know, but we got to get a hold of some Viagra. Because what does it do? It just gives you an erection, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't provide any emotional stimulation, does it?
Well, yeah, no. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Well, I think what they're saying is, like, when you get whiskey dick.
Oh, right.
You can't get it up.
All right, so they're partying that hard, no pun intended, that they need Viagra to make sure that they got the four-hour hard on.
That's right.
That's hot. Why are we clubbing it, man?
Well,
something to do with our wives, I guess.
Because we clubbed ourselves right when we get home.
Well, you know, in a related story, John, the new arousal drug is triggering debate over sexual doping. The drug, PT-141, is in final test prior to possible FDA approval. It's being spun as pleasurable for women, John, and better than Viagra because it targets your brain. Not your blood, baby.
What does?
This new drug for women, PT-141.
Oh.
Is it
Pootie Tang? What is PT? Pootie
Tang?
Pootie Tang,
141. Yeah, they had to go through 141 versions.
We got to have 100. Now, this is 141. Now, this has got to work. It's got to be the Pootie Tang.
And it does
Let's check it out.
Because it's been submitted for FDA approval.
Then it's got to work.
If this or another drug pans out as a reliable turn-on, experts speculate, John, that here's what's going to happen. One, it will be officially marketed to people with sexual dysfunctions, but unofficially sold to everyone.
Which means, shit, I'm out of chips.
Which means you and I can get our hands on it. It will make arousal a choice, John. A choice.
Really?
Yes, because I just have to pop a pill now to be aroused. It doesn't have to happen naturally. It's not forced arousal, which I've never had a problem with. Number three, it will suppress sexuality to fit invasive work schedules. That's nice. Hey, I don't got time, you know. I got to go to work. Then I got to go to practice. So let's squeeze it in right here.
Right.
And number four, it will let you dope your way around emotional or relationship problems instead of facing them, John.
Pootie Tang 141.
Pootie Tang 141.
That should be a movie. Hey, there you go, Spike. Killer PT 141. Killer Pootie Tang 141. Pootie Tang is the name of a band, though, isn't it?
I don't know. I thought it was the slang for the woman's right above the taint.
Von's Venus. Mons Venus. I said it backwards.
Place right above the taint.
I'm dyslexic. Like the W.
Well, I have two other science-related stories, and they're both out of the Vatican, John.
Oh.
The Vatican will extend its ban on gay priests to those with deeply rooted homosexual tendencies.
No pun intended
in
there.
In theory, the old rule banned gay sex, whereas the new rule bans gay inclinations,
let's
John.
Let's give you the big, deep-rooted.
It allows a transitory homosexual past if you've stayed celibate for 3 years prior to ordination.
That's a different kind of root canal, isn't it?
Liberals hope deeply rooted can be interpreted to mean it's okay to be homosexually oriented, as long as you're confident you can keep your cock in your pants.
Is that what it says?
Yeah. Well, and we've talked about this before. The Vatican wants to get rid of all the homos. Okay, so there goes half their congregation, or not their congregation, but half their priests. Now they want to get rid of all the rest of them who are homos but remain celibate. So now they're not going to have anybody.
Wow.
But what, John? They're
right.
going to have one thing left. What is that? They're going to have pedophiles. That's what
oh,
they're going to have.
Right. That's another, right. You can't lump them in.
Another story out of the Vatican. The Vatican's top astronomer. Did you know the Vatican had a top astronomer?
That'd be Da Vinci.
I wonder who the second astronomer is. God damn that top astronomer.
Top astronomer.
Said intelligent design isn't science. He said ID should be taught when religion or cultural history is taught, not when science is taught.
Oh, so the guy that could tell you the Zodiac, like he knows. Jesus freak Zodiac
fortune
teller.
A powerful cardinal and potential pope argue that evolution doesn't explain everything, but is scientific theory.
Oh.
Whereas the biblical teaching about
right.
creation is not a scientific theory. So that's coming right out of the Vatican, and that's got to piss off the current pope.
Pope Benedict?
Pope Benedict.
You do a great Pope Benedict.
Jawohl!
Sorry, I'm doing Triumph from Wonder Dog. You do a great Pope Benedict.
No doubt I do a great Pope Benedict.
I got one more Vatican story. It's a quick one, and it's about queers again.
Oh.
No, it's not. It's not about queers. A Brazilian singer who promoted the use of condoms in an anti-AIDS campaign
condoms?
Has been dropped. Yes, condoms. Not condos, but condoms. Has been dropped from the lineup of next month's Christmas concert at the Vatican.
Is that like a condom, but like more igloo-shaped?
Get this,
condom.
John.
Condom.
Danielle Mercury was dropped after Vatican authorities read statements by her in the Brazilian press that went, quote, against the moral doctrine of the church, end quote. And that's because she said, hey, put a rubber on when you fuck, okay? And the Vatican has a problem with that.
Why did she just say that?
I don't know why she said that. It's like a PSA, a public service announcement.
No, I'm saying, why doesn't she just say it the way you said it?
Oh, I don't know. She
hey,
should.
Just put a rubber on your cock before you fuck.
And I have one other ID story.
Oh, my God.
We talked about intelligent design.
Yeah.
The Vatican came. One somebody in the Vatican. The top astronomer.
Top astronomer.
The second and third astronomers
fortune teller
did not come out against ID, but the top one did. There's a pro-evolution website was sued, John, because it receives public funds. Did you hear about this? Jeannie and Larry Caldwell of Granite Bay, California, have sued the operators of a University of California, Berkeley website that helps teachers teach evolution. They propose that the belief of evolution is a religion. Who the
Jesus
F are these
Christ.
F-heads, fuck faces, wasting more goddamn money on this crap?
This is why we are one of the most hated countries in the world. Well, I don't think. Are we? One of the most hated?
No, that's what President Bush says.
Oh.
And it's because of him, the chimp, that we're
right.
most hated.
Right.
Not because of this.
Not
because
of the Christian right.
Oh, well, the Christian
the
right.
Parent-teacher conference.
Suckers.
What's the name of those people?
They are cocksuckers.
The parent what?
Parent Television Council.
Yeah.
The PTC.
The ones the most responsible for complaining to the FCC.
Those are them.
Thanks for speaking for me. I'm a parent, you fucks.
Well, John,
I could give a shit what you're all about.
The Berkeley website received some funding through a public money grant from the National Science Foundation. The Caldwells feel that this amounts to a government endorsement of certain religious groups over others. Why don't they just take these people out and execute them? I mean, obviously their brain cells aren't working. And look,
right.
they're married. They may be able to procreate, John. And won't that
and
be
that's
a joyous?
Scary.
That'll be joyous when
yeah.
that happens, won't it?
That's pretty scary, yeah.
When Jeannie and Larry Caldwell welcome their baby into the world, that'll be great.
Their thing.
They say, John, that the site is an effort to modify the beliefs of public school science students so they will be more willing to accept evolutionary theory is true. Because everybody knows it's not true, John. They also claim that they are not proponents of intelligent design.
Oh,
well, I wonder what they are proponents of. How about stupidity?
There you go.
That's what they're proponents of. Stupid asses.
It is pretty stupid. I can't even talk about that.
That's so stupid.
Me.
It does.
It
it's upsetting
me.
That stupid people.
Well, how do they get press?
Get press over this crap. Why don't they just
Why
laugh them out of the office?
Total talk nonsense get press.
Who's the a-hole lawyer that takes that? and says, yeah, let's do it. Let's sue them because evolution is a religious belief.
Oh, come on. There's shysters everywhere, man.
Cocksuckers. That's what they are.
It's fucked up.
And then that gets press and ends up on our show.
You see?
If there wasn't stupidity like that, we wouldn't have a show, John.
That's right. That's true.
Because we're total talk nonsense.
Total talk nonsense. And we talk about the nonsense.
And, John, even though America has a chimp in office.
I found out what that sound was. That?
It's your whiskers, man.
That's right. When I'm talking and I don't realize that I'm touching it while I'm talking. The last one, I was like, what the fuck is that noise? And it was me. When you do it really fast, I'm talking really fast. I don't realize that it's touching.
Well, you got to get that thing out of the back of your mouth.
Oh, what's that?
Because you're used to having other things in the back of your mouth. I think that's why you're up on
it. Oh, yes. No, this one's much smaller.
Well, John, we talk about America all the time.
Child size.
And even with the chimp in charge.
Yeah.
Even though he's fucking this great nation up unbelievably.
Yeah.
It's still better to be in America than anywhere else. You know why, John?
Oh, yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt.
Because a British historian, David Irving, known for his controversial views of World War II, must stay in custody in Vienna while he is charged with denying the Holocaust. Holocaust. The Holocaust. It's not funny, John. It's serious, okay? But get this. It's
the Holocaust.
It's against the law to deny the Holocaust in Vienna. Vienna state prosecutor this week charged Irving with denying the Holocaust in two lectures he gave in 1989, John. 1989. This is like 15 years ago?
Right.
16? Yeah. Whatever. We can do math. What are they? Must have no statute of limitations on denying the Holocaust.
Holocaust.
John. Denying the Holocaust is illegal.
Put you in jail, though.
I'm telling you, it's illegal under Austria's law prohibiting the Nazi Party.
That's stupid.
It carries a sentence of 1 to 10 years in prison. His offer filed for his release from custody and offered bail. The judge dismissed the motion, John, ruling that there was a risk of escape and a risk of committing the act of denying the Holocaust.
So, you know, so Mel Gibson would go to jail there.
Has he denied the Holocaust?
Well, not in so many words.
His father has.
His father has.
Right. So Mel Gibson, stay out of Austria.
Yeah. Mel is right there with him, though. He just played it up so everybody goes see his stupid movie.
The Passion? I haven't seen that yet.
Because it's really about, like he said on Jay Leno, hey, man, it's what can I say? It's about the greatest history book ever. It's history.
It's history.
Yeah.
All right, John, you had a political story.
But that guy's genius, man.
Who?
He made $300 bazillion off of that.
Oh, Mel?
Yeah. You do. Everybody knows. Everybody watches the damn Ten Commandments every year.
Oh, no doubt.
Easter. You know, Easter?
I don't think the Passion of the, well, we watch it on Christmas, but I don't think the Passion of the Christ will have the same playability over and over as the Ten Commandments. I mean, who wants to see that crap over and over again?
That's true.
But Mel Gibson, handsome. Handsome young man.
He sure is.
Sure was.
No, I was just reading this article.
Now, before you start your article, John.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and play that Bush clip? I think that'll lead nicely into your article.
We got a Bush clip?
We got a Bush clip from 2002. You know, because before you play the clip, John.
Yeah.
All right, before you play the clip,
you're a freak.
I'm going to tell you what's going on over here in America.
All right, why don't you tell me there, Scott?
Bush is attacking everybody, saying, hey, it's completely dishonest to rewrite history about why we went to Iraq.
Right.
When Bush and Cheney wrote that history themselves and tried to put it over on the American public. And they're being discovered now as lies and frauds by the general population. John and Scott knew this all the time.
Right.
That we had a chimp in office.
Well, we've investigated this. We
yes.
have our own sources.
We've done our research.
And we have found out the nonsense.
But finally, the American public, John, is finally coming around. So now what the administration is saying is, hey, we didn't mislead you. We had the same intelligence that you did. So it wasn't misleading. We were just completely incompetent, is what they're saying. But go ahead. This is President Bush in 2002. Now, right now, Dick Cheney, I believe, is denying that the administration ever said there was a link between Saddam and Al-Qaeda.
Right.
He says that's people trying to rewrite history. But go ahead and play this clip from 2002, John.
Both of them need to be dealt with. The war on terror, is you can't distinguish between Al-Qaeda and Saddam when you talk about the war on terror. I can't distinguish between the two because they're both equally as bad.
Now, what was happening here is President Bush can't distinguish probably between a chimp and a gorilla. So how could he possibly distinguish between Al-Qaeda and Saddam, right? But what he was saying to the American people was, yes, there's a link between Saddam and Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to attack Iraq. Plus, hey, John.
Exaggerations.
They have weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
And you know what else they have?
What?
A bunch of recycled things. That's what they have.
What?
John. They have a bunch of recycled
things.
Right.
That's it.
So that's what the administration is saying, that all this rewriting of history is mangling the facts.
This
that
is recycled stuff. 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 Stuff.
He's such a chip.
Stuff.
John.
I mean, I
stuff.
Yeah. Sorry.
So what about Cheney, man? You got a story about Cheney?
No, it's the same shit. It's basically this whole thing with him bitching about everybody dissenting. And almost what he's saying like that people are blaming and saying that this whole information that they got about the WMDs was fabricated, and he's coming in defense of the W. But the way he's putting it is that anyone saying, in effect, that any criticism of the president is essentially treason.
Oh, what a bunch of crap.
You know?
Yeah, maybe if we were in Nazi Germany, it'd be treason.
But, you know, he's using words like dishonest, reprehensible, corrupt.
And these are all words that describe that cocksucker.
The president used the word shameless. How people could say that.
You know what's shameless is when you get out of Vietnam because you got strings you can pull.
Yeah.
And you're a big chicken hawk, and you can't even show up for your National Guard duty, and then you send troops to war so you can line the pockets of your buddies. That's reprehensible, John.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you let the country go down the drain because you don't have a goddamn brain.
Well, they practically admit it, you know, that they fabricated it by saying, interestingly, the administration no longer claims that Saddam actually had such weapons at the time Bush led the country into war in order to eliminate them. The flaws in the intelligence are plain enough, in hindsight, Cheney said on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, let me tell you.
How about that? So-called WMDs, weapons of mass destruction, were not the only argument for the war, but the administration thought they were a crucial argument at the time. So the administration now concedes that the country went into war on a false premise. Doesn't that mean that the war was a mistake, no matter where the false premise came from? So basically,
well, John, in strictly philosophical terms, if you use the structure, the modus tollens structure, yes, their argument falls apart, and the thing that we've been asking for, John and Scott of Total Talk Nonsense, is an exit strategy, and right, we don't get one. We just say, Bush just says, I want full and complete victory, but he never defines what victory is.
Well, how about this?
Because he's incompetent. He's stupid, John.
If you're looking for revisionist history, don't waste your time on the war's critics. Google Cheney's bitter critique of President Clinton's military initiatives in the 2000 campaign, and specifically the need for more burden sharing by allies and a sharply defined exit strategy. At the time, about 11,000 American troops were in Bosnia and Kosovo, working alongside about 55,000 soldiers from allied countries, if only. So, yeah, basically, Cheney was criticizing Clinton for not having an exit strategy. He must have an exit strategy, and we must have coalition troops.
Well, he did have an exit strategy, and we did have the support of the coalition.
5-1
Over in Iraq, we're going at a... Oh, Bush was in some Nambia or something. Who knows? Some country
recycled,
that is one of our allies. Because they sent 10 troops to Iraq.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Nambia.
Thanks.
So Bush went to visit them. How about some real allies, huh?
Yeah.
Some real ones.
Ones with guns.
Right. That's
not
a good
spears.
Saying. Ones with guns, man. Not headdresses.
This is what I say. Stop closing the bases here and close all the ones around the world and just bring all the troops home.
Bring them home, baby.
Now, I know a lot of them will be bummed out because they kind of like hanging out in Frankfurt because Germany's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. But keep them in Germany.
Well, no. If a country needs us, they sign a contract and they pay for it.
I like that.
They pay.
That's nice.
That's all. We're for hire.
That's hot. It's totally hot.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear about the memo that came out of Downing Street?
Another one?
Another memo.
What's that?
A leaked memo from number 10 Downing Street indicated the Prime Minister Tony Blair dissuaded President W. from launching a bombing raid on Al Jazeera, world headquarters in Qatar.
Oh, I did hear about that.
Yeah, Qatar is an ally of the United States,
that's
John.
Right. That's right.
And the United Kingdom in the Iraq War. Now, here's what I don't understand. The memorandum allegedly, recorded a meeting between the two leaders that took place in April 2004. This was the height of Operation Vigilant Resolve.
It's...
Or ovary, as you and I know it.
It's
the assault on Fallujah by the U.S. Marines and Iraqi security forces. Al Jazeera reporters were in the city providing video footage of the resistance. The day before the meeting, U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld described Al Jazeera's coverage as vicious, inaccurate, and inexcusable. The White House has dismissed the allegations made in the article. Now, here's what I don't understand. So
what's
this memo came out, and they said, oh, yeah, here's what happened. And then the White House is saying, yeah, it never happened. It's a bunch of crap and how disingenuous it is, right? But then this guy, Leo Connor and David Koff, have been charged under the Official Secrets Act for the leaked memo. So how could somebody be charged?
Right, if it doesn't exist.
If it doesn't exist.
Right.
All news organizations have been warned by Attorney General Lord Goldsmith against further publication of information from the leaked memo.
That was in my email to Senator McCain to look into this Downing Street stuff because there's some merit. And he dissed me, man.
McCain dissed you, man?
He dissed me.
How did he diss
you? I don't have the letter with me. I got to grab the letter. I'll read it in the next podcast.
So, so there's a law against this, and they're suppressing further information from... Here's the important part, John. The leaked memo.
Yeah.
Not the leaked fantasy.
Right.
Not the leaked theory. Not the leaked gibberish, John. The leaked memo, which means it exists.
Right. That's, you inferred, or no, you deductive logic?
I inferred. This implies, and I inferred.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's up with that? Bush is completely wacko, in my opinion. I mean, I thought he was a chimp before, but wanting to bomb a news corporation.
Al Jazeera, yeah.
Now I know why Fox has bent over backwards for the W.
Well, wait till you check out the movie Syriana.
Syriana?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Oh, let me get the door. Hold on.
The movie's all about,
All right,
Syria and Iran coming together.
I'm going to get the door. Hold on.
All right.
You think it's Phil?
Yeah, I think so.
Ooh, it's a long way. Hold on. Hey, man, what's happening? No doubt, it's the Phil man. Let me walk back. Come on, Phil. No doubt. Let's get back to Mike.
I'm on Mike. Yeah, sit over there. Take up that mic. There you go. Where are you going? All right. Just sit tight, Phil. We got a couple other quick stories here.
Well, we're at 35 there, Scotters.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
You're a little long-winded tonight, buddy.
Well, whatever you want, tell me to the news, just let me know. And I'm ready to go, because I was born ready, John and Scott.
Well, thanks, you are. Bro. That you are, brother.
All right, John, I'll just run through these really quickly. Did you know the ex-FEMA head, remember this douchebag, Michael Brown?
Oh, yeah.
The complete failure, who was right. emailing people about his clothes when New Orleans was under 10 right. feet of water.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
That guy.
Yeah, I love that buzzing that comes in.
That's I'm sorry. Was there some buzzing?
He was heavily Shut criticized up. For his agency's slow response to Hurricane Katrina. Guess what, John? He's starting a disaster preparedness consulting
you
firm
gotta be fucking
to help
kidding
clients
me.
Avoid the sort of errors that cost him his job.
Wait a minute. It's going to be a hotline like a, hello, suicide hotline. Please hold.
If I can help people focus on preparedness, how to better be prepared in their homes and better prepared in their business.
Why is every...
Because that goes straight to the bottom line, John and Scott, that I hope I can help the country in some way.
Well, how come all your Republican voices have like a southern accent?
Brown told the Rocky Mountain News for his Thursday edition. Brown said officials need to take inventory of what's going on in a disaster to be able to answer questions to avoid appearing unaware and how serious the situation may be. In the aftermath of the hurricane, critics complained about Brown's lack of formal emergency management experience, John, and emails that later surfaced showing him out of touch with reality.
Are you going to leave any news for Phil?
Of course I am. The lawyer admits that while he was the head of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, or FEMA, mistakes were made in the response to Katrina. He also said that he'd been planning to quit before the hurricane hit.
Fucking equally male assholes.
What a cocksucker. I was planning to quit anyway before the hurricane hit.
Yeah, nah.
That's why I didn't pay attention, you son of a bitch. John, get this. The U.S. wants to peer into phone service networks. Did you hear about this?
You fucking bitch!
The Federal Communications Commission gave broadband internet service and voice over internet protocol services 18 months to ensure that their networks are wiretap ready. Privacy advocates say the law enforcement agencies You're already can fucking wiretap services. They criticize the FCC for overstepping its bounds. Fuckface.
This is like saying everybody has to keep the doors unlocked because the FBI might want to get in, said Mark Rash, a former attorney who handled commuter crime cases for the Justice Department and is now Senior Vice President and Chief Security Counsel of Solutionary Inc. The harm of everybody keeping their doors unlocked all the time is much greater than the benefit, John and Scott of Total Talk Nonsense.
And John, who could that be? Hey, Phil, is your girlfriend coming over?
Well, no, I left her tied up in bed. I leave her tied up like that, and then I go home, and we make passionate love after
I think
my
Phil's
news.
Just trying to tell you to wrap
after
it up.
After my news. Well, John, I got a Bushism of the day. Here's what Bush said on November 8th in Washington, D.C. As a matter of fact, John and Scott, I know relations between our governments is good. He was talking about the U.S.-South Korean relations.
Disassemble. That means not tell the truth.
And the last story, John, about Bush. Stop. Teachers accused of anti-Bush quiz. Stop. Now I'm going to give you the question, John, see if you can answer.
All right.
But a high school teacher is facing questions from administrators after giving a vocabulary quiz that included digs at the president.
Wow.
Bert Chekin, the social studies and English teacher at Mount Anthony High School, said he gave the quiz to his students several months ago. The quiz asked students to pick the proper words to complete the sentence. I'm going to give you the question, John, see if you can answer this high school
All
question.
All right, I'm ready.
Here's the question. Here's the sentence, and I'm going to give you two words, and you have to fill in the appropriate word. Ready?
I am ready.
I wish Bush would be A, coherent, or B, eschewed. For once during a speech. But there are theories that his everyday dictation charms the below-average mind, hence ensuring him Republican votes. What is the correct Wait, answer, John?
That's a trick question, man.
I wish Bush would be A, coherent, or B, eschewed. For once during a speech. But there are theories that his everyday dictation charms the below-average mind, hence ensuring him Republican votes. What is the correct answer, John?
A.
Coherent? That is correct. It is absolutely unacceptable, said Superintendent Wesley Knapp. They, teachers, don't have license to hold forth on a particular standpoint. Check in 36, a teacher for 7 years, said he isn't shy about sharing his liberal views with students as a way of prompting debate, John. The kids know it's hyperbolic, so to speak. They know it's tongue-in-cheek. I'll put it both sides, he said, especially if it's going to cause a lot of grief. All right, Phil. I'm finally finished.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's always a pleasure just sitting here listening to you two chatter back and forth.
And I enjoy my time here. As always, I'm a professional broadcaster, and I will wait my turn.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
First story, McDonald's switching to Vietnamese fish for Filet-O-Fish sandwich. Claims, you love me long time. No sucky. Full meal for under $5.
Dara.
Officials from
Dara.
Mazatet, the major supplier of McDonald's, were in Vietnam last week to visit giant seafood producer Agafish in Mekong Delta region to look into the possibility of buying the Baza variety of catfish. McDonald's plans to switch to catfish and tilapia for its Filet-O-Fish sandwich. The Mekong Delta, John, produces 40,000 tons of catfish a year. Next story. Paris Hilton believed Santa Claus was real until she was 17 and he came over and screwed her and videotaped it. Hotel Harris Paris Hilton is reportedly unfessed that she has believed in Santa Claus until she was 17 years old, John. The Simple Life star, who recently broke off her engagement with reek shipping hair Paris Lestesis, claiming she was too young to get married, has revealed that she's always treasured the Christmas holidays until someone shattered her childhood illusions by alluding that there was no such thing as Santa Claus.
I mean, the person who told me it wasn't true,
female first quoted her as saying. However, 7 years down the line since her 17th birthday, the four-year-old still celebrates the four-year-old's. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. It must have been a printer error. Next story, John. Hockey coach suspended for punishing his players by making them ride the stationary bike while naked. What? And while teammates paddled their naked asses with hockey sticks. Oh, my God. During Ontario Hockey Association's investigation, the league was also able to confirm there had been.
Well, you know, when I was in the Corps, we had to stand at attention in our underwear sometimes.
I know you're used to this, Scott, but I'm not sure I can handle this. I'm a professional, and I don't know, maybe we have to have a meeting after the show. But where's my train wreck sound effects there? Should I start over, Scott? What do you think?
Well, it depends. Sometimes I start over, sometimes I keep going. I think in this case, you should start over.
Well, thank you, Scott, for the support. Maybe John's... I hope John's listening to this newscast.
Well, John, a hockey coach suspended after punishing his players by making them ride the stationary bike naked while teammates paddled their naked asses with hockey sticks.
When I was in the Corps...
During Ontario Hockey Association's investigation, the league was able to confirm that there had been A, underage drinking at a non-sanctioned team party. B, a team-building paintball event in which rookies were isolated. And you'll get this. I mean, you'll love this. 3, a kangaroo court incident where players were made to ride a stationary bike naked while they were paddled with hockey sticks, and a hot box where players on a bus were made to strip naked and forced into the bus washroom to dress into their clothes.
I'll tell you, section 3, selection 3 for... That's my final answer.
And there you have it, John.
Wait a minute. A, B, and 3?
A, B, and 3. Yes, or 1, 2, and C, whichever you'd like.
The investigation also focused on the alleged the allegation of diapering of players until they defecated.
Wait a minute.
But Mr. Lads noted that activity could not be validated, which means they couldn't find any feces.
That does not say that.
It says it right here. We have left the issue open about the diapering. We are not satisfied. We have found everything about that.
You are lying. That cannot be true.
Next story. It sounded like a bit of jack-up. When a 46-year-old Kim George McCann appeared in the Napier District Court yesterday, charged with breaching Napier's inner-city liquor ban. Judge Richard Watson wanted to know why the slightly disheveled man was slurring while in court. He had not had a drink that morning, McCann said, confiding he had been drinking the night before. Uh-oh. My pages are out of order. All right. Next story. Oh, no, it's the same story. New Zealand man in court for violating liquor ban was slurring his speech because his ears went.
Oh.
Scott, can you calm down? I can't do my nose. I'm sorry, Phil. That's just too damn funny.
Here's the reason why it's in my news report, gentlemen.
He was violating the liquor ban, was slurring his speech because he said his dog ate his teeth.
What?
The slur was, he said, because the problems with his teeth, which had been snatched from his mouth by his dog.
Where the fuck did he get these
A Jack
dogs?
Russell had chewed the teeth. You gotta watch those Jack Russells. Said the judge.
I don't have no teeth.
They're about as bad as Jack Daniels.
Ah, the judge made it funny.
In the end, McCain found he had bitten off a bit more than he could chew. He pleaded guilty and was fined $200, John.
That's a lie. There's no way.
Next story. If you're going to spend the weekend shooting at people, throwing beer bottles at campers, and rolling your car over, you might as well decapitate the family's dog for good measure, John. This is out of Butt, Wyoming.
Wait a minute.
A jury trial has been set for February 28th for a man accused of decapitating the family's dog during a camping trip on Labor Day weekend. Russell James Howard, 29, whose address has been listed as both Basson and Butt, faces a mixture of felony and misdemeanor charges, including abrogated animal cruelty, attempted aggravated animal cruelty, tampering with evidence, criminal endangerment, two counts of intimidation, and misdemeanor criminal mischief. The charges stem from the September 3rd incident in which Howard was alleged to have shot and then cut off the head of a chocolate lab receiver named Gunner, which was owned by the Butt family enjoying a holiday weekend at the Ladysmith compound near Bernice.
What a fucking retard.
Howard is also have alleged to have thrown beer bottles at another camping family, as well as fired a gun at a man after an altercation. In addition, he is involved in a vehicle rollover, all in the same weekend. Here's the really disturbing part, John. Howard remains free on $35,000 bond.
Oh, God.
Next story. French television to do new Frenchified version of Starsky and Hutch. Starsky and Hutch are to be reborn as a pair of French cops called Madani and Duval in a Gaelic version of the 70s hit series. The show is being promoted and produced by the trendy M6 channel, which hopes to tap into the French love of American television while respecting its legal obligation to make 40% of its programs in France. Work on a pilot episode will begin next week with Alexander Brossier, the French television actor, taking the part of Starsky, and Mandy, as will be known, the role originally played by Paul Biker Glazer. David Soul's Hutch has been renamed Duval, and will be played by Laurent Hadequin. Next story, John. Southern accents moving toward extinction as more and more Southerners seek to eliminate or modify their accent. Y'all isn't welcome in Erica Tobolewski's class in voice and distinction at the University of South Carolina. And forget about fixin', as in getting ready to do something.
Fittin'.
John, I'm fixin' to fuck you in the ass. God damn it, Phil. That's funny.
Well, thank you, Scott. I wrote that. I worked on that all weekend. John, I'm fixing to fucking you in the ass.
Oh,
Or she's getting rid of pin when talking about the writing instrument.
Cool.
John, I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass with my pen. You fucker.
Right, I love Phil, how you say it. I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass with a pen.
With a pen.
Fucker.
Joe Belinsky's class is all about getting rid of accents. Mostly southern ones. In the heart of the former Confederacy. And replacing them with standard American dialect, which would be, John, I'm getting ready to anally rape you.
With a pen.
We sort of avoid talking about class in this country. Oh, that's funny, John. But clearly, class is indicated by how we speak, she said. Many come to see me because they want to sound less country, she said. They say, I don't want to lose my accent completely. But I won't be able to minimize it or modify it. Oh, excuse me.
Oh. That's the funniest fucking accent I ever heard.
Next story. Depeche Mode singer forced to remove ring piercing from his taint. After one of his kids quizzed him about it.
Wait a minute.
Depeche Mode star David Gahan was forced to remove his gayish piercing between his testicles and his anus when one of his kids quizzed him about the ring that dangled there. The leave-in silent singer had the sensitive area pierced years ago after hearing it was one of the most erotic areas to add jewelry. He tells Us Magazine. Let me get into an English accent. Because he's English, isn't he, John and Scott, Depeche Mode singer?
What do you think that would sound like if he got pierced down there?
In the taint? Where it ain't...
No! No!
It taint balls and it taint ass, John.
It's just taint. Like, stand still. Stand still. Stand very still. Because if we sleep, it's going to happen.
I would beg to differ with that. I don't know if any piercing is erotic, really. For me, it is probably about the pain. I knew it was time to get rid of it when one of the kids noticed it and was like, why do you have that earring in your fucking ass?
What's that dangling about?
Next story, and I think you already covered this, John. Viagra now number one party pill for people under 30. Viagra has become a popular among partygoers or combine it with other drugs to ensure they have a good night at the end of the night. It's the number one party pill since it's been released.
Party pill is part of the party pack for uppers.
Yes, I think you did cover this story. Next story, Michael Jackson has decided to convert to Islam because it's the closest religion to his personal beliefs, John.
About molesting boys?
That leaves Catholic priests perplexed. And I don't know about you, John, but I don't know anything in Islam about molesting boys. I know they get a lot of virgins when they martyr themselves for...
Why didn't he become a Catholic priest? Right. That's...
American pop star Michael Jackson has officially announced he's been following the five tenets of Islam and intends to convert to Islam, according to the report on the website of the Arab Israel newspaper Panorama. According to the report, Jackson's announcement notices he is moving to Bahrain and has purchased some real estate on an artificial island there, just like his artificial face. I wonder if he has an artificial cock. The singer said he had decided to convert to Islam because it is convinced it is the closest religion to his own personal beliefs.
Damn.
Which would include molesting young boys, having a chimp as a best friend. What else? Having a theme park as somewhere to live. I think that closely follows Islam, don't you, John and Scott?
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Maybe you want to do a little more research next time, Phil.
Yeah.
All right, then, last story. Bartender jailed after tequila drinker dies.
No.
This is out of Norway. A 32-year-old Norwegian bartender was sentenced to 6 months in prison Wednesday for serving a customer so much tequila that he fell into a coma and died. According to a district court in the southwest city of Hakkastasund, the bartender, whose name was withheld, pleaded guilty to serving 34-year-old Leif Henning Nilsen 19 shots of a strong Mexican liqueur in 90 minutes at the Sippercent restaurant in May.
Huh.
Nilsson lost consciousness and died 3 days later. So that's like a public service announcement, John.
To not do what?
19 shots of tequila.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the news.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Thank you, John. That's the news.
Yeah.
And I'm Phil McCracken. Wake up with AKC Total Talk Nonsense.
Yeah, I'm having a problem here.
Reporting the news.
Right.
And John, that's the news.
Is it the news?
That is the news.
That's the news.
And I'm Phil McCracken. Okay. Wake up.
All right. Thanks, Phil, for coming. Take care.
Good night.
All right.
And good speed.
Thanks for coming. Okay.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye now. Okay. Bye-bye now.
Have a good night.
All right.
I'm almost at the door.
Good night. All right.
All right, man.
Yeah. Oh.
Was he coming back?
No. No, that was him going to his car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we had a mic outside.
Is he going to start his car? It's kind of cold out.
No, he's good.
I wonder what that would sound like.
I think he's okay.
Is he okay?
He might be all right.
All right.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think he's okay. I think
touch it. Don't touch it. Drugs and alcohol.
I gave her white hair.
Let's come together.
Not only once, but twice.
Do it well. In return for money.
Yeah.
Vladimir Putin.
All right, John, that's another one in the can.
Is it?
Episode 31, parts 1, 2, and 3.
Episode 31, part 1, 2, and 3. This was part 3. Don't forget to vote next month. Vote this month. On PodcastAlley.com. We're on Podshow.com now. We're on Podcast Pickle, PodcastingNews.net. But you can visit our website at TotalTalkNonsense.com.
And don't forget, we have a t-shirt poll going on in the forum.
That's right.
And don't forget, John, we also have a quiz, the No Child Left Behind quiz.
No Child Left
Behind. So we're looking for answers to that.
Right.
We will award a fabulous prize.
Fabulous prizes.
Fabulous. And Spike and Rachel, if you're ever in Chi-Town, let us know. We'll get you on as guests.
Right.
And what else? Punky. Listen to Punky.
Yeah.
Punky's our favorite. And what else, John? Anything else? Tie up some loose ends?
I think that's it, man.
I think that is about it, John.
Yeah. That's about it.
All right, then.
Let's get the hell out of here. All right. That's us. AKC Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
I'm Scott.
And we're out of here.
Later.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.